schools fail us in every sense of the word fail. No doubt there might be some exceptions, and no doubt some people will disagree. But here, this statement is not made with any degree of superficiality. The subject is too serious for that. Having spent a few decades in several countries as a pupil, student, lecturer, researcher, and observer of educational systems, my conclusion is not one based on a single observation. And nowhere is this failure more evident than in the educating of people, young and old, not to question the state. From the first year in whatever educational system we attended, where you and I were numbered and counted, stamped and dated, we were taught not to question authority. Children are conditioned to accept official narratives and to ridicule those who do not. People are taught to obey officials and accept their policies, even after they discover something official is immoral and inhuman. In fact, all systems in society, not just educational systems, reward conformists who unquestioningly accept, then espouse, official policies, positions, procedures. And though it can easily lead to sycophantism, such behavior is promoted as the right and the only way of living. And this week's opening quote comes from Keith Allen Noble. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. And it's nice to be here again, folks. Actually, the opening quote this week was taken from a book called Mass Murder, Official Killing in Tasmania. And it's by a man called Keith Allen Noble, and it is discussing the Port Arthur massacre that happened in Tasmania in, I believe it was 1996. And if you are an Australian, it is very worthwhile you reading this book, ladies and gentlemen, because this book exposes the lie that is the official narrative of the Port Arthur massacre. The Port Arthur massacre, of course, was blamed on a young man with the intellectual ability of an 8-year-old, he had an IQ of about 32, who was blamed for one of the most accurate shootings in world history. In fact, the degree of accuracy displayed in the Port Arthur shootings was indicative of either an Olympic standard of shooting or of multiple shooters. In fact, there has been a number of award-winning shooters of Olympic standard who have openly stated that it is doubtful they would have achieved the degree of accuracy that was exhibited by the Port Arthur shooter on that day. The event was, of course, not staged by Martin Bryant, the patsy that was used, but was actually staged by the John Howard government and was used to disarm the Australian people in preparation, I suspect, for the coal seam gas industry that John Howard signed off on and is currently being used to rape this country and destroy its groundwater. And I recommend that people read this book. It is a very, very eye-opening story, and anybody who reads it will clearly see how they were lied to by the Australian government and the corrupt Australian media, and how not a shred of evidence actually exists to convict Martin Bryant, which was why he never was taken to trial and no evidence was ever shown to the public. As I said previously, I believe that the whole thing was used to disarm the Australian people in preparation for the coal seam gas industry and the mining operations that are about to be commenced in Queensland, and that's what the Port Arthur massacre was about. But I highly recommend reading this book anyway, folks, especially if you know someone who believes Martin Bryant was guilty. Well, I suggest you show them this book so that we can perhaps take steps to bring the truly guilty party to justice, because the truly guilty party is, of course, the Australian government. Australia has one of the most corrupt governments in the world, unfortunately, folks. This can be clearly seen by the actions of the current administration, the Tony Abbott regime. This man is a brutal sociopath who is working as hard as he can to destroy this country. And we really have so many problems manifesting in this country at the moment that it's absolutely ridiculous. The amount of gas exploration that's happening, the smart meter grid that they're putting in place. Be noted, of course, folks, that Australia has set the safe level for smart meters at about 1,000 times higher than what is actually safe. So when they come and tell you that these things they're putting on your house are safe, ask them to show you proof of claim that the 1,000 times higher than the accepted level that they claim is safe is actually safe. And if you don't want the smart meter on your home, I suggest you tell the person coming to install it on your home that you intend to smash it off the wall as soon as he walks away from it, so it is useless him putting it on. If he says he's going to go and get the police to stop you doing that, then suggest that he does do so, and when the police come, tell them that you would like to report a crime, that crime being the abuse of office of the Australian politicians who have claimed these things are safe, and since he is a police officer, you would like to report this crime to him and have him take steps to have the politician responsible charged with abuse of office. I think if everybody does this, they will realise that we're just not going to accept it. Because these things are incredibly toxic, people are getting very sick from them, and the installation, the mandatory installation of these things across the country constitutes an electromagnetic attack against the citizens of this country that has been carried out by its corrupt government. And the only people, of course, that are going to be able to do anything about it are the people themselves, and so I suggest you all act on this issue. Because nobody else is going to, folks, it has to be us. And we have to stand up for ourselves, and now's the time we have to do it. As I said, folks, this year the gloves have to come off, and seriously, if the government believes it has the ability to electromagnetically poison the population because it wrote rules on a piece of paper, and the police are stupid enough to enforce this corrupt legislation in the belief that it's actually law, and they actually expect the people of this country to simply take it lying down, then I would suggest that these people all have rocks in their heads and that none of them have the intellect required to do the job they are currently doing. I would suggest that all these people seek more appropriate employment, perhaps sweeping factories or cleaning sewer walls or something like that. It really is amazing, you know, when you look at this country and you see what it has deteriorated into at the hands of the corrupt politicians that have been in office for the last few years. And as I said, folks, this can be exemplified perfectly by the current administration, the Abbott regime. I mean, look at the things that have happened since this Abbott government obtained office. Not only have we had the Vlad legislation coming in Queensland, the legislation which basically claims that any group of three or more people the government names is guilty until proven innocent. And this has been pushed in all states around the country, and the Abbott regime, of course, is saying nothing about it. The Abbott regime is too busy cutting the Barrier Reef in half to support its gas port. It's too busy wanting to deregister the rainforests in the Franklin Gorge so that it can log the old-growth forests down there. And it's too busy supporting corporate whores and mining magnates like Gina Rinehart in their raping of the country. And of course, snatching up all the money they can from the people so they can run off to the bank when they leave office, as most governments do. The government in Australia has, in fact, ceased to serve the people in any way, shape, or form. It doesn't even pretend to serve the people anymore. It is little more than a corrupt criminal empire run by sociopaths and psychopaths, and I suggest that the human experience would have been vastly improved had all the creatures populating the current government administration been drowned at birth. I think the human gene pool would have been vastly improved by such a manoeuvre. And yes, I know I digress somewhat with such a statement, but, well, we all get mad sometimes, folks, and we need to express that anger, and that is simply my way of expressing it. Rather than violence or protests or marches or waving my fist in the air, I simply choose to call a spade and express my frustration in the first suitable verbal manner that comes to me. But it's really got to the stage, folks, where we have an administration in this country which is a bunch of criminals, and that's it. It's a criminal cabal that is blatantly doing everything it can to steal the wealth of this nation, and the only thing that is going to stop these criminal scumbags from continuing to support their overseas corporate masters is the people of this country, should they choose to stand up and call a spade and express a loss of confidence in the Australian government's ability to govern. And that's the only way we're going to be able to do it, folks. We have to stand up together and point the finger at these people and say, you are stupid, you're incompetent, you're criminals, and we don't want you there anymore. And not only do we not want you there, but we're going to stand up and we're going to refuse to do anything you tell us to do. Because as a nation, we refuse to support the organized criminal cabal, which is the Tony Abbott regime. That's the way we have to do it, folks. We have to say, look, we're not going to support the government because we refuse to support organized crime any longer. And that's the way it is, folks. You know, if you vote for a politician in this government, if you vote at the elections, what you're doing is you're supporting the theft of your money. You're supporting this government stealing from your neighbors. You're supporting them impoverishing your children and brainwashing your children, feeding them toxic waste, subjecting them to an electromagnetic control grid, which will cause an incredible amount of damage to their biology. You're allowing them to spray the skies. You're allowing them to push Monsanto GM crops throughout this country and genetically alter our entire environment. You're promoting the destruction of groundwater in this country. You're promoting the destruction of the Darling Downs and turning it into a coal mine. You're promoting the hacking apart of the Great Barrier Reef and the destruction of the old growth forests in the Franklin River. That's what you are doing when you vote in Australia. I would suggest that everybody boycott the next election pending suitable candidates. Now, I'm not suggesting you break the law, folks. What I'm doing is I'm suggesting the government stop breaking the law by ripping the people of this country off and exposing them to danger and toxins and toxic waste and fluoride and chemtrails and GM food and gas mining and coal seam gas mining and theft and the destruction of this country. That's what I'm suggesting. And I challenge any politician, any newsreader in this country to debate me on any of these issues. What about you, Tony Abbott? You want to come and face me in public and explain yourself in front of all the Australian people? No, of course you don't, because you're way too gutless and you really don't have the mental faculties or the mental capacity to debate anyone with any degree of intelligence, because you're simply a corporate whore who does what he's told. And that's basically the current political climate in this country, folks. If the politicians you are supporting belong to one of the major parties in this country, then if you vote for them, you are supporting organized crime. And that is the bottom line. The reality is that it is extremely doubtful that there is even one politician in this country that is worth voting for, because I don't know one politician that has ever spoken out against any of the issues that I've just raised. And any politician who hasn't is not worth voting for and should not be allowed to hold office. Because if the politicians haven't mentioned these issues, folks, then there's only two possible reasons why. One is that they are working to make sure the Australian public don't have this information. And number two is that perhaps they do not know about any of the things I just mentioned, which would indicate that they are either too stupid or too uninformed to hold office. I mean, why beat around the bush with it, folks? That's really the truth of the matter. And look, there are so many problems that we face in this country, folks, and there is so much hardship that the people are forced to endure when we really don't need to have things this way at all. As I've mentioned to you quite often lately, there has been a recent oil find in Cooper Pedy at a place called the Arkaringa Basin, where they have found at least 233 billion barrels of oil, which could be exploited to change the entire economic structure of this country and indeed change the entire geopolitical climate on this planet. Say goodbye to OPEC. Say goodbye to Arab control of the oil. We have 12% of the global oil economy right here in Australia. This means that we could completely dismiss the coal seam gas industry. We could stop uranium mining. We could stop coal mining. We could stop all of the industries that are destroying this country. And we could set up an oil field out in the middle of the desert at Cooper Pedy, where it isn't going to affect anything. And we could use that money to completely cancel this country's national debt, to raise the standard of living and lower the cost of living in this country significantly, to fertilize vast areas of desert that are not habitable and make them arable, such as was done in the kibbutz program that was implemented in the Israeli theft of Palestinian land when they got vast amounts of the Negev desert and they made it habitable. We have the ability to do this. We have the technology. And with the discovery of oil in the Arkaringa Basin, we also have the money to do this, folks. And not only is the government not exploiting this oil find, but the government and the Australian media are not even alerting the people of this country to the fact that this oil find has happened and the fact that these huge oil deposits exist in the Arkaringa Basin. Why are they doing it? Well, of course, it's because the oil companies that control the global economy like the price of petrol to stay high because they make lots and lots of money. They like the world to think that peak oil is coming and that we are in a state of energy crisis. When, of course, nothing could be further from the truth because all evidence indicates that oil is, in fact, abiotic. It is created in the core of the earth and all of the oil fields are replenished all the time. In fact, oil fields that they thought had run out, they're going back there and they're finding that they're full again because the oil is constantly replenished because it comes from other sources. It isn't a fossil fuel, folks. It doesn't come from the remains of dinosaurs and old trees. It's produced abiotically. If you doubt that, simply Google abiotic oil and do the research for yourself. And every indication would suggest that abiotics is exactly the way oil is created. So there is no oil shortage. In fact, oil should be a very, very cheap fuel, but they don't tell you this because they want the price to stay high. I remember when the price of petrol went up here in Australia during the first Gulf War when George H.W. Bush went in and carried out the first act of genocide against the Iraqi people back in 1991, petrol in this country was 32 cents a litre, and it went up to $1.50 a litre overnight when that conflict began, and it simply never went down. But there is absolutely no need for oil prices to be as high as they are, especially in Australia, and there's no need for us to be exploiting all of the minerals and doing all the damage that we are. There's absolutely no reason for this gas port, this coal port, to be cut through the Barrier Reef. There's absolutely no reason for coal seam gas mining to be implemented in this country. There's no reason for the government to be doing any of the things it's doing. But what the government is actually doing is it's setting up the infrastructure for the major exploitation of resources in this country, because that's what this country was set up to do. It was set up to be a mine. It was not set up to be a place where people could live. It's set up to be a mine. They simply needed the people here in order to put the infrastructure together they need for the mine. Of course, people like to breed, so we need to provide cities and entertainment for them and distract them while we're doing all of this other stuff. But now it's done. They don't really care, and they don't really care if they depopulate this country. They just want to put the infrastructure in place so they can extract all of the resources that they're capable of doing. And I would suggest it's not only because they want resources, but there are certain reasons that they would very much like to destroy this country, because this country has a very, very long and very rich history. In fact, anthropological and geological evidence would indicate that this country is where life originated on this planet. Life didn't come out of Africa, as is promoted by the mainstream academia, folks. Genetic evidence indicates that the Australian Aboriginals are in fact the oldest race on the planet, and so I would suggest that is another reason why they really wish to wipe out any trace of history that exists on this continent. They really don't want the people to know the true history of life on this planet, because if people were to understand their true history, it's a very empowering knowledge, it's a very empowering thing. And if we understand our true history, understand who and what we really are, it gives us the ability to be able to free ourselves from this control grid. Because when you know who and what you are, you tend to view the world from a very different perspective than what is given to you by the mainstream education system and the mainstream media, by the social standards that we're delivered on a daily basis. It's a very empowering thing, folks, to know your true history. And that, I suggest, is one of the reasons history has been so well hidden from us. They really have taken vast steps to ensure that we do not know our history, and that we're always questioning our history. Everything looks like an ancient mystery or something. There's all these mysteries, isn't there? When you look at the past, the mystery of the pyramids, the mystery of this, the mystery of that. Really, there was an ancient civilization on this planet, folks. We had the ability to do incredible things because we were the civilization that existed on this planet. What happened was there were certain steps taken which locked us down and cut us off from our higher senses, and disconnected us from the planet and disconnected us from ourselves. And from that point, we have been used to extract resources from this planet. So one must really question who the controlling hand is and what is the purpose of this scientific left brain reality that we currently find ourselves in. Is this a product of human mind? Is this the product of human evolution, you know, the evolution of human society? Is this where it led to? Is this what we've achieved? Are we at the pinnacle of human achievement? Because I would suggest that we certainly are not. And I would suggest that when you look at modern civilization, as I said, I believe last week on the show, what we have here is a slavery system, and we have a system and a civilization which is so alien to human consciousness and so contrary to what is good for humankind that one really must wonder whether this civilization is a product of humanity or whether it's been constructed for us, because it really doesn't seem like we would have come up with this thing on our own. It just doesn't serve our best interests. And really, if we were left to our own devices, you've got to wonder how we ended up here. Because I'm sure that if you were taken and just dropped in the forest and left to your own devices, this is not what you would come up with. In fact, it's always puzzled me, folks, as to how this civilization came about, because this civilization simply does not serve mankind's best interests. And if we were hunters and gatherers living in the woods and simply surviving each day, we would be spending our lives hunting, building shelters for ourselves, laughing, playing, making love. And I don't see why or how we would ever have come up with something like this. It just doesn't make sense for us to create a situation and create a civilization which is so destructive of our environment and so destructive to ourselves as well. It's just a very, very bizarre thing, and I've always sat back and looked at civilization in amazement, and I've never been able to figure out how we got to this point, why we would ever construct a civilization such as this, because it simply doesn't serve us. And I don't know why we would have gone through life working to make things so difficult for ourselves. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, I know we can only speculate, but it certainly is an interesting question to ponder, folks, and it's something that I ponder quite often, because when I look at the world today, it really doesn't make a lot of sense to me, and it certainly would be nice to know exactly what happened. I think there are many people who feel the same way. There are many people who would really like to know how we got here, but I guess the fact is that here is where we are, and the real question is, how do we extricate ourselves from the control grid that is fast being built around us? Indeed, there's already quite a large control grid in place and has been in place for a long time, but things are really ramping up at the moment. And it's really got to the point, folks, where, as I've said before, people just have to draw their line in the sand and start considering just how much they are prepared to take, because we're in a position where our governments are killing us. It's as simple as that. They're starving us out, they're poisoning us, they're destroying the countries that we live in, and making it impossible for people to live in the countries where they were born, not only because you've got to pay to be there, but because they're polluting all of the groundwater and they're genetically altering all of the food. They're genetically altering the environment so that we have to use Monsanto Franken food and grow Monsanto Franken crops every year. So they're forcing us down this genetically altered pathway, which is all designed to support this economic system at the expense of humanity. And the simple question is, how much is humanity prepared to take? I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous, folks. And I still can't believe that we allow these things to happen, that we would have a legal system that is so corrupt that it would support companies and corporations over people. It's ridiculous, folks. It's absolutely absurd. And I just wonder how long people are going to take it for. And look, I know I sound pretty harsh and judgmental towards the police sometimes and the politicians sometimes on these shows, folks, but I don't know, I get angry with these people and I get angry with their actions, and I'm just trying to slap them into wakefulness, because that's perhaps what they need. I mean, I've tried being nice to them and they're just not listening, so perhaps if I insult them and simply name them for what they are, maybe they'll snap out of their mindsets or something. Because we're facing a pretty bad situation here, folks. I mean, we are, as a species, allowing ourselves to be slowly exterminated simply because people we elect to office to look after things for us, whom we give power to, are writing rules on pieces of paper. It's absurd. And I know I come back to that a lot, but it's just absurd. And it's mind-boggling. It's absolutely mind-boggling. It makes my head spin that people can't see it and that people actually think the fiction is real. So that's the question, folks. How do we break this down? How do we break this programming down in people? Because it's the programming that is the problem. It's the programming that causes people to view this fiction as real, and it's the programming that stops them from ever investigating these things or stepping back and looking at things realistically. They're too busy running on the treadmill or keeping up with the Joneses to really notice what's going on around them. And look, I've done countless shows on these topics, folks, and I've been around the world and I've seen pockets of resistance everywhere, all around the world. I've seen that everywhere I go, people feel the same. Even a couple of weeks ago, I was invited to speak at a seminar in Sydney, and this was a business seminar. This was kind of one of those entrepreneurial, business, motivational, self-empowerment kind of things, and they invited me to come and speak because the person organizing the event thought it would be good to bring this type of information to people. And once I started speaking, the people were very, very open to the information, and it was stuff that they'd never heard before. There was actually only two people at the seminar that I was speaking to who actually had heard of me. And so the information that I was bringing to them was very, very new. And it was very confronting for a lot of these people, but they were very open to it. But the point is, we're seeing this all around the world. We're seeing that people want the information and that a lot of people are aware of the global situation, or at least becoming aware of it. But even so, people find it very, very difficult to get organized and to figure out what to do about the problems that we face. And that is the problem, folks. It's the lack of organization. People just can't seem to get their head around the problem in the correct type of manner. And because they can't, they're, of course, unable to find any pathway to remedy. You know, many, many years ago, when I first became aware of the control grid, I imagined how if everybody simply changed their perspective of who and what they are, and everybody simply viewed each other as equals, how we could change the world so very quickly. How the control grid was simply an idea that somebody had, and how it was all essentially fiction. This is something that I became aware of when I was very, very young, before I was even a teenager. I was looking at the world this way, wondering why people simply went along with all the things that other people told them to do. And I began to see back then that remedy to the entire global situation lies within the hearts of the people. And that's really the only place it will ever be found. I began to see how people vote people in and out of office and petition people and apply for this and apply for that and fill in forms and protest and write letters and all the things that people do. But I could never really understand why people believed in the fiction so much. Why, when we saw a problem in the world, we didn't just turn and fix the problem. I began to wonder why people were starving in the world when we had so many warehouses of food. I remember seeing the starving children in Ethiopia when I was a child, seeing them on TV, and being horrified at this situation. Because everywhere I went in my own country, I saw food. I saw food growing in the gardens. I saw food on the supermarket shelves. I saw food everywhere. And I couldn't understand why, if we had all this food in the world, there were people starving. It just never made sense to me. And then I began to realize that money was the reason. Money was why people starved. Money was why some people were in a state of scarcity. Even when everything was there for them, there was this barrier of money, this paper barrier that prevented them from having access to the abundance of the world. And it always struck me as being very, very strange, because I could always see that the answer and the path to remedy from the situation was so very simple, because it lay within the hearts of the people. All they had to do was change their perspective of how they dealt with things and simply take the moral high ground in all that they do, and the whole world would change. And I could just never figure out why people wouldn't simply do that. Why people allowed themselves to be constrained by fiction, why people allowed other people to starve. It just never made sense to me, and that's why I spent most of my life living on the outside of society, working as a musician and as a sound engineer, and just not really participating in the system, because I just couldn't understand how you could participate in the system and still maintain your integrity as a functional human being. This didn't make sense to me. And I tried sometimes. I tried doing things that other people did. I tried wheeling and dealing and profiting and doing the things that people do. And it never worked out for me. And I just felt terrible every time I did it. Every time I profited from somebody else, I felt really bad about doing so. And I tried to adjust my mindset, and I tried to think, no, it's all good, because this is what people do. But I just could never come to grips with it. I could just never function in that type of a world. And yet, that's the type of world that we have, and in fact, that type of activity is quite normal to most people. Most people see it as a normal, everyday fact of life, and this is the way they go about their business every day. And many of these people would view me as being highly dysfunctional because I'm simply not able to function in such an environment. Whereas I view them as being dysfunctional because that's the only environment they're able to function in. And it isn't that I'm not able to function in that environment. I just don't feel right about it. It feels alien to me. It feels like I'm participating in a fiction. And it surprises me that people can't see the fiction for what it is. But it also shows me why it's so difficult to wake people up, because once people are locked into this economic model and this economic way of thinking, it's very, very difficult for them to ever see the world from any other perspective. The economic model, the economic pathogen, as I refer to it, is a particular way of thinking that is very fascinating when one looks at it, because as I've said before, once you introduce this into somebody's life and you superimpose an economic model over their normal way of thinking and you get them to start trading with pieces of paper and precious metals with the people around them, then suddenly it becomes very, very difficult for them to imagine how they could ever have lived life without this system of trade. So it's a particularly interesting type of mental bondage that we find ourselves in due to the imposition of an economic model and a monetary system over our consciousness. And I find it fascinating. I find it fascinating to see just how much it affects our lives and how little we think about it, how much we take it for granted. We just expect it to be there. But the question is, where did it come from, and why can't we snap ourselves out of this economic mindset? I mean, it isn't just a matter of being in a state of oneness with other people. And when I say a state of oneness with other people, it's the respect that you have from knowing that your uniqueness, your individuality, the perfect sui generis expression of creation that you are, everybody is like this. Everybody has that same sui generis state. So therefore, everybody is equal. Everybody is of equal standing. And ultimately, we all come from the same source anyway, because everything is all energy. And everything comes from energy, including us, including our bodies, including our consciousness. And so that's what I mean when I say the universal oneness. But it isn't just that. It isn't just seeing yourself and other people around you from the correct perspective. There's more to it than that. What is it that keeps us locked into this model? Why can't we view the world differently? Why can't we view the world from a non-economic perspective once we've had this economic mindset superimposed over our thinking. It's particularly interesting. Of course, I mean, you can say, well, why can't we fix Fukushima? Well, it's because of the massive cost. And you think, well, why is there a cost? This is a problem that affects the entire world. Why aren't we just fixing it? Well, it's because all the materials we need to fix it have to come from somewhere, and the people who supply the materials are required to pay to be alive, and the materials they're supplying to you constitute their livelihood, and if we don't pay them for their materials and pay them for their time, then they won't be able to live. But then you can go deeper and say, well, why do we think that way? Why is everybody required to pay to be alive? What is it about the world, and what is it about our society that has caused this to happen? Why is money perceived to be wealth, and yet it is such a barrier to progress? It's such a barrier to fixing the problems that we face in the world. Indeed, the problems that we face in the world, the lack of energy and all the problems we face because of the economic model, are what is blocking or at least hampering any great rise in spirituality or consciousness, because people are too busy and too distracted collecting the paper they need in order to pay to be alive. So money is a very, very interesting tool. The economic model is a very, very interesting tool of control, and it's a very, very interesting state of consciousness for us to find ourselves in, because it is so detrimental to human progress and to any spiritual or even intellectual evolution. And yet, once it's imposed over our minds, it's so difficult to break away from that you've got to wonder where it comes from, how it ever came into being, and how to break people out of this economic mindset. Because that's a big part of the problem as well, isn't it? The fact that people are stuck in this economic mindset. Economics really is insidious, folks. I mean, I look around me at the world today, and sometimes I really have to wonder if we're going to make it. I really do. With all the positive slant I try to put on things, sometimes I wonder. It's interesting, you know, when you speak out against coal seam gas and all the mining and all this sort of stuff, it's interesting to speak out about it, but when you see it happening right here in your backyard, then it really does bring things home to you. And with the state of consciousness in this country, and with the deals that this government has already struck, I really don't know how we're going to stop the coal seam gas industry in this country. And once it gets a foothold in the Northern Rivers area, it's going to destroy the Northern Rivers. And the Northern Rivers is my home. This is where I've lived for most of my life. So it really does bring it home to you when you see the threat right here in your backyard. And it truly is one of the most wonderful places on earth. I've traveled a lot, folks, and it really is one of the best places in the world to be. There's a particular energy here that is not like anywhere else. It's a remarkable place. Everybody that I know who comes here says it's a remarkable place. They can feel something incredible about it. A lot of people that I know have come here and said it's the only place in the world they actually feel like home. It's an interesting energy. But the energy here is about to change with the advent of the coal seam gas industry in this area. And the problems that we face are so many and so numerous, and people's belief in the system is so deeply ingrained into their minds now that sometimes I really do wonder how we're going to get back on our path, because the pathway back is, it's such a long way. We have such a long way to go to get back on track. I just wonder what it's going to take. I'm really hoping that the people do rise above the fiction in regard to the coal seam gas industry. I'm hoping that people use this as a means of uniting the country and as a means of dismissing this government. The government here in Australia really is out of control. Just the other day, Tony Abbott was saying how he's going to have to start cutting people's benefits, people on welfare, pensioners and stuff like this, because we are such a poor country. But we're not a poor country. We're actually one of the richest countries on the planet. especially with the recent oil find at Cooper Pedy. It's really amazing how much of a barefaced liar this man is, how he's able to get up there and tell barefaced lies to the population without one shred of remorse for the damage that he's doing to people. It's amazing. I don't know how sociopaths such as Tony Abbott can sleep at night. I really don't. I find it difficult to comprehend the mind of a sociopath and how these people can do the things that they do. But they do, and the people just seem to swallow it hook, line, and sinker. The people in Australia most definitely do, although I think a lot of them are waking up. People are seeing the rampant disregard the Abbott government has for people. I mean, with all of his campaign rhetoric and promises that he made, he has been stormtrooping across the country like a steamroller. He's just been doing everything he can to impoverish everybody that he can, and has been openly pandering to corporate corruption so much and openly pandering to corporate empires so much that I think his actions are actually serving to wake up those who were still asleep, just in case anybody did think the system was real, just in case anybody did think that any of these politicians had any of their best interests at heart. Well, Tony Abbott should have caused them to lay those beliefs aside for now, because if there was anybody in the country who didn't think that all of our politicians were corrupt, well, all they really have to do is look at the actions of the Abbott regime, and I think that their minds have been changed. So in a way, he's doing the country a favour by being the brutal sociopath that he is, because he's putting it right in people's faces to see, and there's simply no denying the fact that the government is corrupt, and the fact that this country is facing some very difficult times at the hands of the corrupt politicians that have been selling the country out from underneath the feet of the Australian people. I think it's all becoming very apparent to people now. And so that's got to be a good thing. As I've often said, folks, there is opportunity at the heart of all problems, and really the problems that we're facing at the hands of our government now are an opportunity for the people of this country to stand up and do something about it. We have a perfect opportunity here with the coal seam gas industry to actually dismiss the Australian government because of the threat this industry poses to the water table. When I was a child at school, when I was in primary school, one of the first things they taught us was the importance of the Great Artesian Basin. The fact that this is a desert nation and that the only way we are able to live here is because the Great Artesian Basin exists. And so it is the most important thing in this country, and any threat to the Great Artesian Basin must be seen as a threat to national security, and this industry, the coal seam gas industry, is indeed threatening the Great Artesian Basin, and it's doing so, and it is being promoted by politicians. So this gives the people of this country the greatest opportunity we have ever had to dismiss this corrupt government and to put the power back into the hands of the people where it belongs. I mean, sure, we could have some form of government here. I'm sure we will need one because people simply aren't able to govern themselves. A lot of people simply aren't competent enough to govern themselves, but we could have a government of honest people that is actually going to work to raise the standard of living in this country and to transfer some of the wealth of this nation into the hands of the people so that people aren't living in a state of suffering and hardship the way they are now, the way most of the people are now anyway. I mean, we have the opportunity to do this, folks, simply because of the threat to the water table this industry poses. We cannot allow our water to be polluted simply because politicians wrote rules on pieces of paper. It doesn't make sense. And the people of the country really do have to rise to this challenge, because if they don't, then we're not going to have a country. These politicians will pollute the groundwater in this country, and that will be the end of population in this country. We won't be able to live here anymore, folks. The question is, are the people of this country going to seize the opportunity that this is providing for them and take the matter in hand, or are they simply going to allow their future to be destroyed by public trustees, all of whom are in breach of trust and all of whom are abusing the positions that they currently hold, the positions that they have been entrusted by the people of this country. That's the thing, folks, you know. The coal seam gas industry in Australia really is crunch time for this country. This is the moment when the decision has to be made. The decision of whether we will have a future or whether we will choose to have our future removed from us. As I said, the biggest problem that we actually face in this whole matter regarding the coal seam gas industry is the failure of the police to actually stand up for the law and to protect the water table. The damage the police are doing by protecting corporations who are raping this country and destroying groundwater is phenomenal. The lack of respect these people have for their country, the lack of respect they have for actual law, and the lack of respect they have for their children and their future and the people whom they are employed to protect, it's mind-boggling that the police would actually be going along with this. I can't understand why the police don't turn around and arrest the politicians who are giving them the orders. It absolutely defies all rational or logical analysis that we actually have police in this country that are so stupid that they would do this. That is the scariest part of the whole thing. And indeed, it is the biggest problem that we face, the biggest hurdle that we have to overcome, is how to deprogram the police to get these people to start upholding the law again and protecting their country. Because they are about to be used as a blunt instrument that is going to destroy groundwater in Australia and render the country uninhabitable. So yes, that's the situation here in Australia, folks. This is why it's taking so long for me to get the film out and why it's taking so long for me to make any more progress with the Full Circle project. I've really got such a lot going on here on the ground with these gas blockades, and I've also got speaking dates I've got to go and do. I've got to go and speak in Perth this weekend. And I've been very, very busy, folks. There is so much happening on the ground here that it's very difficult to do what I do and make any real progress in any direction because I've just got so many things on my plate at the moment. I'm looking forward to the latter half of May when I actually might get a couple of weeks to spare where I'll be able to get back on track and get back to working on things a little bit more. So do please bear with me in regard to the Full Circle project and the new film because it is being slow to launch because of the massive workload that I have, but I am getting on top of things slowly but surely, ladies and gentlemen, and you will be hearing from me later in the year. I also plan on doing some speaking events around the Gold Coast and Northern Rivers area in the next couple of months, just to try to get the information out to the public in this area and hopefully create some sort of a groundswell and some sort of a movement that will start to take on this local council and start to question the local authorities in the correct manner, because we really do have to make a difference this year, folks. This year the gloves truly do have to come off. And I think this is something that people should be doing in all of their communities around the planet. We really do need to have community meetings again, folks. Back in the old days, we used to meet in the town hall once a week or once a month, and we would discuss matters. This was before the advent of the television. People actually used to get out and talk, folks. I know it seems right out of left field, but yes, people actually used to communicate with each other in real time. They used to go to the town hall, and they used to have public meetings to discuss local events and catch up on the news of the local community and just get to know your neighbours and get to know people. Then the television was brought into everybody's homes and suddenly everybody gets their information from the television. But the information the television gives them isn't factual information. That's the problem. Television is a tool of mind control. So what we need to do, folks, is to get out and start having these public meetings again. And it really does make a difference if you start doing this, and it will make a difference if you start doing it in your own community. You'll get to meet people. You'll get to find that people have a similar mindset to you. You'll get to find that a lot of people actually do want change. There are a lot of people that can see we've got problems in the world. They just don't know how to get organized to address these problems. Again, it's very difficult for people to get their head around getting organized because of the amount of fluoride in the water. That's what fluoride does. Fluoride not only keeps people docile, but it keeps them confused. It keeps them so they're just not thinking too clearly. And they never really realize that they're confused. They never realize that they're not thinking clearly. A lot of people don't like to admit to other people that they're not thinking clearly. And of course, if you try to tell them, they take it as an assault against their ego and think that you've called them stupid. So it's a very clever tool that's been used, folks. But if we start having public meetings and start getting to know the people around us and dealing with things in real time, hands on, face to face, then we're going to find that we can make a difference. And starting local cooperatives, urban agricultural cooperatives, lots of things we can do, folks. There's lots of things we can do on the ground to make a difference in our own community if we choose to participate. That's the big thing. You've got to choose to participate, folks. The world isn't going to change around you unless you help it change. That's what we need to do. And folks, if you're listening to researchers or you're listening to news reports and they tell you, look, the battle is already won, we're just mopping up now, and they're telling you that it's all been done for you and you don't have to participate, then you're listening to a liar, folks. You do have to participate. We're not mopping up anything. All we're doing is mopping up the sludge from the gas wells is what we're mopping up. So get involved yourself, because we're not going to be mopping up anything unless you do get involved. Don't trust anybody that tells you the world has been saved for you, because you have to participate in your own salvation yourself, ladies and gentlemen. That is how it happens. This is something else that I keep hearing from people. Oh, the battle's already won. The people have already been taken care of. Arrest warrants have been issued. All sorts of rubbish that people tell me. And yet, when I look around, I just see the world spiraling further into a state of disrepair and to a state of totalitarianism. So I would suggest that nothing is won yet. Nothing is over until the fat lady sings. So do get involved, folks. Don't believe the world is going to change without your participation, because nothing could be further from the truth. You do have to participate. We all have to participate, folks. That's the thing, you know. It's not going to happen unless you do. But look, we're getting very close to the end of this show here again, folks. Thank you to all of the people who supported the Crow House Indiegogo campaign. There was a campaign that was launched by a friend in an attempt to keep this show in the air. It actually raised half of the goal, and to me that's a good thing. I've never had any type of a fundraising campaign before, so it was a whole new thing for me, and it was great to see that some people actually did contribute and that some people do want to keep the show in the air. To all the people who are expecting perks from the donations, t-shirts and DVD sets and stuff like that, I will get on the case with all of this in the latter half of May. I'm very busy up until next week, but when I get home next week, I'll start going through the list and I'll email the people out there in Radio Land to find out what size shirt you would like and all of the information that I need in order to get your perks out to you, and I'll do that as quickly as possible. But it is a one-man show, folks, so please bear with me if it takes me a little time, but hopefully that'll all be done by the end of May. But that is it for me, folks. Thank you for spending this time with me today. Thank you to anybody who has ever made a contribution to thecrowhouse.com. Thank you for all the kind emails and the kind words you send me. And never think that you cannot make a difference if you choose to participate in your community, folks, because you can. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take good care until then. In Lakesh.